Well, I greet you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder why people are running away from this heater. It's nice this side, and more of the people are sitting on this side. Amen. We thank God. Just want to thank the leadership this morning for allowing me to share the word of God. And unfortunately, I don't have the full PowerPoint because I was told to say the media team may not be around to assist with the PowerPoint presentation of the preaching. So it's all here, and the title of today's sharing is Taking Ground Together. Amen. As you are aware, we have started the book of Joshua, and then the introduction, the call of Joshua himself before the introduction, and then we had the introduction by Brother Ton, and then last week it was Brother Tim, and I was, last week, like the man of God said, I was in Howick, Tumbleweed, and I preached on, we had a wonderful time on overcoming giants, you know, in the promised land that we are talking about. They were giants, and some people, in fact, most of the people, that especially the explorers that went, or the spies, they found giants. So I was encouraging the people at Tumbleweed on how to overcome the giants in our lives. Amen. Okay, today we're looking at, we'll continue with Joshua chapter 1, and we are reading from verse 10 to 16, or 17, somewhere there. Amen. And I begin reading. Verse 10, if you've got the Bibles. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded officers of the people, saying, go throughout the camp and command the people, saying, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to cross this river, that's River Jordan, to go into, to take the place of the land, I mean to take the possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Verse 12, to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-brother of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the way which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest, which is peace, and will give you this land, which is on the east side of the River Jordan. Amen. 14 says, your wives, your children, and your cattle shall be allowed to stay in the land which Moses gave you in this eastern side of the Jordan. But you shall cross the river before your brothers, armed for battle, and all your brave warriors, you shall help them conquer and take possession of their land. Verse 15, until the Lord gives you, your brothers rest, as he has given you, they also take possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Then you shall be allowed to return to your own land and take the possession of that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise, which is the east. Verse 16, they answered, saying to Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. 18. And any man who rebels against your command and does not obey everything that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Amen. Only be strong and courageous. There are key elements in this passage of scriptures that we have just read concerning unity. As children of God, as the body of Christ, we are supposed to be united. Now, before I make emphasis on unity, the importance of unity as we walk with this Christian walk that we have adopted to follow Jesus, I would like maybe to step back and give you the background to why the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh decided to be on the eastern side. Joshua, last week, as Brother Tim mentioned, I'm sure I mentioned because I was not here, was officially now commissioned to start the leadership of the Israelites to take them to the promised land. And Joshua comes to the leaders of the tribe, as the scriptures mentioned, and he reminded them to say, we have to mobilize people, because within 3 days, we are about to cross into the land that God gave us through our forefathers. So Joshua begins his responsibility by instructing those 12 leaders, and he tells them to prepare for the crossing. Now, the Reubenites in Numbers 32, after the defeat of Midianites by the Israelites, the Reubenites and Gadites requested Moses. If you have time, you can read Numbers chapter 32 from verse 1 up to the end, and you find this information that I'm talking about. After the defeat of the Midianites, the Reubenites and the Gadites requested Moses and the high priest, by then it was Eleazar, the priest, and the community leaders, meaning the leaders of those tribes. They used to be called community leaders. They went to them and requested that, now that we have defeated our enemies on this eastern side of Jordan, and the land, as you see, is very fertile, and it's good for our livestock, or for the livestock. Now, since we are livestock keepers, is it possible for us to be allocated this land so that we don't go beyond, because we've got so many animals that we are looking after, or that we have as commercial farmers? But Moses, however, was not comfortable with that, because remember, he wanted to take the whole tribes across the Jordan to go and fight the enemies. And I'm sure when he sent the 12 spies, he was aware of the giants and all the difficulties that they may encounter to take over that land. So he wanted them to go as a unity. Now, to make sure that the Reubenites don't remain behind, he asked them to make a pledge when they appeared before the community of leaders, to make a pledge to say, if you can only assure me to say, if we give you this land on the eastern side of Jordan and you remain here, you are going to cross, or you can remain, I mean, we can leave behind the animals, your wives and your children, but you have to cross with your soldiers from the tribes of Reuben and Gadi to go and help your brothers on the other side to conquer the enemies and make sure that they find rest. Amen. So that's the background. Now verse 12, Joshua reminded the Reubenites and the Gadites the pledge that they made to Moses. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 12 to 15, say, Gadites, please, we have to cross with your brothers. Don't remain behind, because unity is key. And remember the pledge that you did. So here, the Reubenites are reminded to follow the other brothers, but only fighting men that were strong and all the resources to go and help the brothers. So why did Joshua remind the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-brother of Manasseh? One is that God wanted the Israelites to enter the promised land as a united force, as one family. Because when they left Egypt, they were a family. Even those who were born in the wilderness, as they continued their journey to go to the promised land, they were moving as one group or one family of Israelites. There was no division. And Moses, Joshua, and God himself wanted the Israelites to enter the promised land as one family that is united. Number two, God wanted to ensure that the 12 tribes have found rest. And this was one of the points that Joshua mentioned to the other 2.5 tribes, to say, you have found rest on the eastern side of Jordan, but you have to cross and help your brothers so that they can also find rest and peace. Peace from their enemies. Peace from slavery that they lived in when they were in Egypt, because now they have to be in a place which God had appointed or allocated for them. Number three, all the tribe leaders of the Israelites pledged support. Amen. From verse 16 to 18, they pledged support to Joshua to say, the way we supported Moses, the way we obeyed Moses, we are going to do it for you. We are going to cooperate. We are going to support you. We are going to help you. Only make sure that we are not alone. As long as God is on our side, we shall support. And whoever tries to rebel against you, to rise against you, that person is going to be put to death without any means at all. So as we are crossing or moving as a church to the promised land, these are some of the important things that we have to remember. To say unity is important as a church. We need, no matter what is happening in this world, tribulations will be there, temptations will be there, just like the leaders of the Israelites were tempted on the way. Even the people were tempted. There were times when they complained, but Moses and Joshua, they emphasized unity. Remember in the previous scriptures, when God commissioned Joshua, he was encouraging to be strong, to be courageous. Amen? Because it takes a lot of sacrifice, takes a lot of commitment to lead human beings, even in the natural, even this world we live in. It takes, you know, our leaders go through a lot. Even in government, they go through a lot. Even in churches, our leaders go through a lot to make sure that we, as a body of Christ, we move together, we live together, we fellowship together, we share things together. It takes a lot of sacrifice. Now, as Crossways Church, as Christians who are born again, who are saved, spirit-filled, who are serving in this church, or maybe if you are visiting, you are serving in another church, how do we take the ground of our inheritance? How do we take our ground of inheritance? There are a few things that I've highlighted. The first thing is, we need to be genuine lovers of God. There is no way somebody can say, Dan, I love you, or Mr. Walker, I love you. It has to start with genuine love with God. Amen. We have to love God with all our hearts, with all our souls and our spirit, with everything that we have. Without love, there is nothing. Because someone can ask you to say, how can you say you love me if you don't love God? Because God is the originator of love, is the source of love. Without the love of God, then somebody will be loving you with an ulterior motive. Somebody will be loving you because they love something that you have. Immediately that something is taken from you, then they will disappear. Amen. But someone who has got genuine love with God, no matter what happens, they will stick together. So as a church, it's key, as we are crossing over to the other side to take our ground, we love God with all our hearts. Amen. And then we love one another as a church. We love one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. so that other people can know and testify to say, look what God is doing. Just like when the Israelites were going to take over their promised land, the neighbors were trembling. The neighbors were afraid, other tribes, to say, these people, they are untouchable. Why? Because they had God with them. God was fighting with them. Why? Because they loved God so much. Amen. And that's why God made sure that he removes those families, those parents that left Egypt. They couldn't go and enter the promised land because of disobedience. They didn't have true love for God. That's why they were craving for other things. And God made sure that he wiped them off to cleanse the tribe. And only their children, and except Joshua and Caleb, crossed to the promised land. Now, in loving the Lord, and as a church, we need to be united, like I mentioned, and we need to be willing to support the leadership of the church. Unity is key. In Psalm 133, the Bible says, towards the end of it, it's a short chapter, the Bible says, God commands a blessing where there is unity. Where there is no unity, even in our homes, even in our companies or organizations, where there is no unity and love, nothing can happen. God cannot bless. We can weep, we can fast, we can pray. If there is no love, there is no unity, there is no togetherness, God cannot bless the church, even to grow. We need to be united. And that unity should start from our homes as children of God. Amen. There's no way the husband and the wife could come to the house of the Lord when there's confusion in the house. They are divided and they come to the house of the Lord. We have to make sure that we are united. We live in love. So that when we come here as members of the body, we bring that love, that unity, even to the house of the Lord. And then we shall see heavens opening and the presence of the Lord will be there and take care of us as a church. We need to help our brothers and sisters as we are preparing to go and take the promised land. As we prepare to receive the blessings of the Lord that God has to store, we need to show true love. Not love just by lips, it has to be love with action. Amen? Love with action. That's why the Reubenites and the Gadites were reminded by Joshua to say, there's no way you can say you are going to remain here. You have to follow and fight for your brothers. Why? Because they needed to make sure that their brothers have got peace. So as a church as well, we need to help one another. For us to be blessed, for us to see the hand of God in our lives, in our families, in our careers, in our business, we need to be a blessing to somebody who is in need. Amen. The other tribes, they were in need at that time. They couldn't cross, even if God was fighting for them. Amen. But they needed to be together. They needed to be supported. Amen. They needed to be loved. They needed to be helped. And that's why helping our brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord who see the miracles and the presence of God in our church, in our homes, in our careers, trying to manifest in our lives. And that takes us to the parable of the sheep and the goats. Amen. In Matthew 25, verse 34 to 40. If you've got a Bible, I start reading Matthew chapter 25, 34 to 40. Amen. The Bible says, then the king said to those in his right, 34. It's talking about, this is a parable that's talking about the coming of Jesus, the Son of Man, you know, to pass judgment. He was just giving them a parable of what's going to happen. Amen. Jesus was preaching and this is what he said. In verse 34, I begin reading again. Then the king said to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, meaning favored of God or appointed to eternal salvation. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Verse 35, For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Verse 36. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. Amen. I was in prison, you came to me, ignoring your personal danger. Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer. That is the sheep on the right hand side. Then they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? Verse 38. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, I assure you, and more solemnly I say to you, to the extent that you did for one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. Amen. You did it for me. Jesus was encouraging us to, as members of one body, of the church, believers, to help one another. Amen. To help one another. And not only the people that we fellowship with. Not only the people that we relate to. Not only the people that we know. Even strangers, we need to help them. He was reminding them that it is important that whatever we do to our neighbors, amen, we should remember that we do it for God. We are saving God when we help someone who is in need. When we help our brothers, or when we work together for the sake of the kingdom to take our promised land. We need to ensure that we do that for the honor and the glory of God. We don't help because we want to be seen to say, we are so kind to others. No, we should help with the purpose of knowing that we are doing it for the sake of God, that the name of the Lord may be glorified, to say this is a true servant, or these are the true servants of the body of Christ. Amen. Number three, we need to love one another just as Jesus loved us to the point of death. Amen. These Reubenites and the Gadites, or the tribe of Gad, they were encouraged to cross over and help their brothers. There were risks involved. There was no assurance to say maybe they may not die. Amen. But they did it for the sake of what? Love. Just like God loved us, that he sent his only son, begotten son, to come and die for us. People who did not deserve to be died for by somebody who is innocent. But God sent his son. And Jesus also accepted because of what? Love for us. For others. Not for himself. Amen. He died for you and me that we may have life. And life in abundance. Amen. Without love, God wouldn't have sent his own son. So we as members of Christ, we as members and followers of Christ, we need to emulate him. We need to be like Jesus. Be willing to sacrifice for the sake of somebody. That we can ensure that that person we are helping will be able to have rest. Will be able to have peace. Will be able to have comfort together with us to the glory and honor of God. Let's look at one scripture from John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, 14 to 18. We won't go through, but in your free time you can go and read. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, 14 to 18. Amen. Let me just read verse 15. Everyone who hates or works against his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer. That's what the word of God is saying. Everyone who hates or works against his brother in Christ, brother and sister in Christ, that person is a murderer by God's what standard? You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. But this we know, and we've come to understand the depth and the essence of his precious love. That's the precious love of God. That Jesus willingly laid his life for us because he loved us. Amen. And therefore, verse 18, we ought to lay down our lives for the believers. But whoever has the God's wealth, goods, which means had resources or adequate resources, and see his brother in need, but does not have compassion for that person, how does the love of God live in him? Amen? If we don't have love, we don't help our brothers, where is the compassion? Where is the empathy? Where is the love? Because we are saying God is love. Amen? That's the nature of God. Where is the empathy? Where is our compassion? Where is our true identity as followers of Christ if we don't help one another? If we don't show love, and that the true love by making sure that our faith is put into action. There is nothing that even the enemy can say. We also say, I love you, but there is nothing you can tell me to say, indeed, you are a true child of God. Amen. Number four, God is love and his children must live and take ground together with the love of Christ. And that is coming from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. In your spare time, please go and read that. God is love. And us as children of God, we are children of love. We are not children of hate. Amen. As the church, we are children of love. If there is no love, there will be no unity. There will be no togetherness. There will be no true salvation, that we can encourage others who are not saved. Amen. Number five. Now, who is our neighbor that we're supposed to help? Because we are in the era where we don't have the 10 tribes that cross, nine and a half that we are crossing to the promised land. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is our fellow believers at Crossways Church. Our neighbors are fellow believers from other churches who are serving the Lord. Amen. Our neighbors include non-believers as well. They are our neighbors. Our neighbors include those who persecute us. Our neighbors include those who hate us. Could be at work, could be at school, in our communities. They are our neighbors. We need to love them. Amen. Our neighbors could be somebody who we don't share the faith with. It could be Muslims or Hindu. They are our neighbors. We need to show love to them. Why do we have to do that? Because Jesus died for everyone. He did not just die for you and me. He died for people who are not even saved today. Amen? He died for them. We need to show love to them. We need to help them. We need to pray for them. We need to intercede for them. We need to help them in whatever way that God leads us to do for them. Amen. We don't have to persecute them. We don't have to hate them. We don't have to shun them. We don't have to ignore them. They are children of God in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Who knew that one day Paul, who was Saul, could be an apostle to preach the word of God? Amen. He was persecuting the believers. He was killing them. He witnessed the stoning of Stephen. Amen. But look at what God, turned him to be. He became one of the biggest apostles in the word of God. Almost half of the New Testament is written by Paul, was written by Paul. So you may think this person is a Hindu today, or is a murderer today, or is a drug addict. You don't know what God can do to change the life of that person tomorrow and make him to be a true instrument of God and make her to be a true vessel of God to change the lives of many and encourage people to cross over to the other side in the promised land. So, as I'm about to conclude, we have to continue preparing the ground for our promised land. It's a commitment that we have made to follow the Lord as children of God. We say Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We have to love God all the time, no matter the circumstance. We have to love our neighbors. We need to be willing as children of God to save one another, to save the church, for the growth of the church. Amen. We need people who are committed, people who are veering themselves, people who are obedient even to the leadership of this earth. Amen? The leadership that God has given us in this church, we need to honor them. We need to respect them and help them. They cannot do it by themselves. They need to be surrounded by hardworking women and men of God to support them, to support them, to encourage them, to say, we shall do it. We shall, no matter what's happening in the natural, but in the spirit, Jesus is Lord and is the head of the church. Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus is our helper. No matter the situation, we have to support them. Just like these men of God made a commitment to Joshua to say, as long as God is with you, we shall obey you. Just like we did with Moses. And we shall protect you. And whoever rises against you to oppose you, we shall make sure that that person is even put to death by the sword. Amen. As I conclude in Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 11, we are reminded by God of our responsibility to ensure that we take our ground, our inheritance, amen, across Jordan together as brothers and sisters. And this is what the word of God says. It's talking about the true fasting of Christians. Amen. But there are some lessons that we can learn from this passage. I begin reading from verse 6. It says, do you call this a fast and a day pleasing to the Lord? This is God is speaking. Amen. Speaking to you and me this morning. He says, rather, is this not the fast which I choose to undo the bonds of the wickedness? To tear down pieces, the ropes of the yoke, or in other words, to break down the yokes. Amen? People living in bondage. To let the oppressed go free, and to break apart every enslaving yoke. Amen? As we are challenged here. If we are saying we are believers at Crossways Church, who are committed to serve the Lord, what are our responsibilities? Our responsibility in this space is saying we should ensure that freedom and peace is achieved for others, not just for ourselves. Amen. We should help those that are living in bondage so that they can also be free. Verse 7, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry? To bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, that you cover them? And not to hide your face from the needs of your own flesh and blood? That's our responsibility as children of God. Amen? To provide, to give help to those that are in need, including our family members, those that are disadvantaged, including the believers in the body of Christ, those that are going through difficult times. Amen? That's our task. They say, it says, then your light will break out like the dawn if we do what has been mentioned in verse 6 and 7. And your healing, meaning restoration, a new life, will quickly spring forth in your lives when we help others, when we show compassion for others, true compassion, genuine compassion with action. Amen? And our righteousness will go before us, leading to peace and prosperity. The glory of the Lord will be our rear guard, will be protected. That those are God's blessings and favor that are coming upon us. Verse 9, then when you call and the Lord will answer, you cry for help and you say, here I am. If you take away your mist, the yoke of the oppression, the finger pointed in scorn, that's towards the oppressed and the godly, and every form of wicked, sin, unjust, if we offer ourselves to assist the hungry, if we satisfy the need of the afflicted, then our light will rise in darkness, and gloomy will become like midday. That's the work of the Lord. Amen. That's the good work of the Lord. And the last verse says, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your soul in scorched and dry places and give you strength to your bones. And you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not do not fail. Amen. We'll be like a tree that is planted closer to the stream of water. Amen. We'll be blessed when we help others. Amen. Then God will see the need to bless us. God will see the need to see us that we are established so that we can be a blessing to others. We can touch the lives of others. But if we just be self-centered, and thank God that the children of God, the Israelites were not like that. They were not self-centered. They were united. Even if they were sinning, amen, but because the enemy was there, just like the enemy is with us today. We cannot blame them when they fell short of the glory of God. Amen. But they were united. We need to be united. We need to be thinking for others as we continue serving the Lord. Let me just share a testimony of what happened. I think the other week when it was about two Sundays ago, we had a visitor here in this church. He claimed he came to South Africa from Mozambique. Amen. He came to South Africa from Mozambique. He had a family. Unfortunately, he lost his family according to the narration that he gave. And as a church, after the church service, some of us were asked to come and pray with him. We prayed. Amen. But one thing that touched me, we did not just stop by praying for him. We went beyond that. Amen. The leadership took a decision to say they should mobilize something to help because he needed transport to go back to his family. He says he was stranded here in South Africa. He only needed, if the church could help, just transport to take him back to Mozambique. Amen. And the leaders, I wish Elder Doug was here. They were moved. They were touched. And they made a commitment to help that man. And to crown it all, Pastor Bob, he volunteered to say, I'll take this man to my home to make sure that he goes and have a bath and have something to eat, and then he'll be taken to the bus stop to continue with his journey. And that's the true love we are talking about. If we are to cross over as a church to the promised land, we need to take care of the need. I know Crossways is a church that loves helping. And I'm just encouraging. I'm not saying we are not doing enough. I'm just encouraging you to say, let's continue with the good work that we are doing. To be a blessing to others. To help those that are in need. To be always helping one another. We don't have to expect others to come from outside to come and see the needs of our own members. We need to continue helping one another. Amen. And if it means going extra mile, we have to do that. Taking care of the widows, the orphans, just like we are doing in the black communities. Let's continue doing that. Whatever we are doing, it's for the glory of God. And God is watching us. He's seeing the good things that we are doing. Amen. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. He sees everything that we do. Let us persevere with the good work that we have started. And may the good Lord bless the word that has been shared. God bless you. Let's stand and pray.